Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
God needs to see you working before he gives you a mantle of anointing for that next level. You hear a lot of people say good things come to those who wait. Greater things come to those who work. Bishop says, if you're going to sit on the dock waiting for your ship to come in, why not get a job on the dock? Make some money while you're waiting for the ship to come in. And so Elijah just walked by him, threw this mantle on him, did not say a word. And Elijah kept walking. And now Elisha is left with this moment. What do I do next? One more time, turn to your neighbor and tell him, catch the mantle. You may be seated. 2 weeks ago, we kicked this session off before we headed to camp. And we talked about a mantle being literally something that at the end of Elijah's life, when he is taken up in a chariot of fire, that his mantle is dropped down and Elisha catches and finds that mantle, puts it on himself. And this is a moment that changes Elisha's life forever. We're talking about defining moments in believers' lives. How many of you can remember the day you got saved? You should remember the day you got saved, the day you gave your life to Jesus, where you were at, what city it was in, what building it was in. I can take you to a little camp in East Texas. I can take you to the spot in that sanctuary that seats 2,000 people. I can take you to the very spot where Jesus wrecked my life. It was that important. July 19th, 1999, it was that important. Every time I drive by that exit, I remember that moment. It was a mantle moment in my life. We talk about that in these sessions where someone is preaching in a church service like this, that when the preacher's preaching, no matter what man or woman stands behind the pulpit, that there is so much that is being cast out. There is so much word. There is so much truth. There is so much revelation. That there is moments in your life where you shouldn't write a note down. You should literally reach out with your hands and catch it and pull it down and say, that's what I've been waiting for, God. That word's for me and mine. That word's for my family. That word's for my marriage. And so this is one of those moments where Elisha is reaching out to catch the mantle of what God is giving him. A mantle moment is a defining moment in a believer's life. A mantle moment is a sanctifying moment. The moment the mantle hits Elisha's shoulders, he has the decision, am I going to sanctify myself to become what God has called me to be, or am I going to keep plowing with these oxen? A mantle moment, thirdly, is a responsibility unleashing moment in a believer's life. At 16, all you want is the keys to the car. You're not worried about $5 gas prices. You're not worried about insurance. The day Tyler started driving, my insurance went from $225 a month to $700 a month. Because he's a boy, because he's 16, and because he chose a Mustang. Tyler didn't care about any of that when he was picking out a car. Tyler didn't care about gas. All he cared about was the driving of the car. The responsibility catches up later. Can I encourage you that when God gives you a blessing, that there is a burden of responsibility, that I am going to walk according to the call that God has placed on my life. That God does not give blessings just to bless you. God gives us blessing to move us into position to have an impact on people around us. And so every blessing you get, you should flip it around because the burden is on the other side. But a lot of times we're looking at the shiny car and we forget about the oil changes, the maintenance. We forget about the gas. We forget about the insurance. And we for sure forget about that monthly payment. But the mantle moments in our life, it is an unleashing of responsibility. But a mantle moment, here's the blessing part, is a double portion unleashing moment in the believer's life. God, I want more. I want more of you. I want more of your life. I want more of your presence. I want more of your spirit. I want more truth, God. I want more of everything that you have for me. Elisha was given a mantle in that moment, church. He spent the next portion of his life and the rest of Elijah's life learning what that mantle meant and what that mantle's purpose on his life was. See, Elisha did not grow in that anointing. This was something that Elijah had worked for. This is something Elijah had bled, had sweat, had sowed tears into carrying this anointing, this power that God had placed on him. And now Elijah comes by an unassuming Elisha, and he says, God told me that you're next. And he puts it on Elisha, but Elisha doesn't know what the mantle cost Elijah. But I love what Elisha does. And not to get too far ahead in this story, Elisha spends the rest of Elijah's life following him around. Why? Because he wants to know, I need to know what it cost you to carry this mantle. I need to know what it cost you to carry this anointing. I need to know how to work. I need to know how to wait. I need to know how to pray. I need to know what I should do, what I shouldn't do, if the anointing of God and his mantle is going to rest on me. Remember, Pastor Rod Parsley told a story one time while he was preaching at a Bible school, and someone came up to him, much as there's a lot of zeal in Bible schools, and these 18 and 19 year old students, they say things that they really don't understand the weight of what they're saying. And so he walks up after the session that Pastor Parsley preaches, and he says, Pastor Rod, I want a double portion of everything that you have. And he said, will you pray for me? And he lifted his hands, and Pastor Rod prayed for him. God, I pray that he would not have enough to eat. I pray that his electricity would be turned off. I pray that he would wake up to rats eating out the toes of his socks while he's sleeping. And the young man ducked out from under his hands and said, I don't want all of that. Why are you praying? He said, that's what it cost me to get what I have. That's exactly what I went through. And if you want twice what I have, you got to be willing to go through twice what I went through. Where's the generation who says, God, if it takes me sacrificing, I'll sacrifice, because I will sacrifice any of my earthly possessions to get your anointing and your spirit on me at a level that this generation has never had. Mantle moments, double portion. He said, Elijah, I'm going to follow you until you die. I want a double portion. And Elijah said, if you want a double portion, every waking moment of your life, you better be following me, you better be watching me, and you better watch me go to heaven, because when that mantle falls, the first person who grabs it gets it. Some of us, we treat the things of God so nonchalantly. You know, there was people who made a decision at 6:40 tonight, I'll just wait till Sunday to go to church. When there are people in China who are, I don't know, every time I say China now, I say it like Trump, China, China. There are people in China that are risking their lives to own a Bible, risking their lives to go to underground church services. And here we are on the busiest freeway in America, and this building should be filled 3, 4, 5 times a week. And here we are on a Wednesday, and people are at t-ball practice, nonchalant about the mantle. Oh, it'll be there when I need it. The problem is you prepare for war in times of peace. The reason a lot of us are here tonight, not is because all hell is broken loose. Reason a lot of us are here is, God, you've been good to me, but I know there's a purpose. I know there's a plan. I know there's a battle out there, and I want to make sure I'm ready for the battle when it shows up. Somebody say, catch the mantle. Somebody say, catch the mantle. Spent the rest of Elijah's life and a good portion of his life learning what the mantle meant, what the mantle's purpose was on his life. Bishop sitting here tonight has taught me everything that I know on many subjects. Everything in ministry I know has come from Bishop. Everything in leadership I know has come from Bishop. Everything in finance and business that I know has come from Bishop. But realize this, if he's Elijah and I'm Elisha, he has taught me everything I know, but he has not taught me everything he knows. Let me say that again. He has taught me everything I know, but he has not taught me everything he knows. And so I believe that God does things a certain way and that God's timing is perfect. And so I believe that dad is still ministering alongside me and myself along him. And we talk about ministry, and this week it was a great moment. Me, him, and Tyler all in there talking about ministry things, and it was a great moment. But I'm sitting here saying, God, let me glean everything I can from my Elijah so that this mantle that is being passed down, there is not a skip in the beat. There is not a transitional detriment. There's not a void. There is not an empty place. And so the same thing with Elisha. Elisha says, Elijah, I need to know everything you know. And you can't leave until I have that. That's exactly what happened with the disciples. But the disciples could not know everything that Jesus knew because Jesus is God. But what Jesus did say was, hey, I'm leaving, but I'm going to leave you a helper. Come on now. The Bible says the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into all truth. It is a teacher. I don't know everything that God knows, but everything I know that is good has come from God. Everything that I know that is powerful has come from God. That's why if you give me 10 minutes, let me get in the Word instead of watch Netflix. That's the reason if I can go to church on a Wednesday or sit at home on a Wednesday, let me park myself at church. Why? Because I'm gleaning from God who knows all and is all and gladly gives to believers. So when we talk about mantle, that Hebrew definition for mantle goes on to liken that word to the wings of a bird. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Jesus rebuked, said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those that are sent to you, how I have longed to gather your children together as hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. God will not cover people who don't want to be covered. On Wednesday night last week, 111 young people were radically filled with the Holy Ghost in the matter of 2 seconds. Fell out all over the building, turned an 800-seat sanctuary. The entire building became an altar. They're all over, and I'm talking about pastors' kids. I'm talking about drug addicts. I'm talking about atheists. God met them. God filled them. God wrecked them. And I remember we were going around praying for people, and there was one young man. You're going to love this. His name was Jeremiah. Come on, with a name like Jeremiah, you know God's got a plan. Jeremiah walks up to me, and this is like hour two into the just Holy Ghost just pour where God's wrecking everyone. He walks up to me. I wrap my arms around him. Have you ever hugged somebody who didn't want to be hugged? That was Jeremiah. And I'm like, man, after 2 hours of this, you gonna act like that? I took a couple steps back. Rexy was standing there with me. I said, what's going on, man? He said something. The music was so loud. I said, say it again, what? He said it 3 or 4 times. I don't think I was meant to hear what he said because I never heard what he said. I said, do you believe? He said, I don't know what I believe. I said, I'm going to help you with that. I said, everything that you've seen the last 2 hours, you can't say that's fake. This is real. He goes, I know. He said, I've never seen anything like this before. I said, throw your hands up in the air. And I led him to Jesus Christ. And then I went on to pray for people. I said, Rexy, you pray for this kid. Rexy prayed for him. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. He was laid out like 30 minutes after service was over. And Jeremiah's still over there speaking in tongues. We had leaders from a church in Houston that weren't filled with the Holy Ghost. They were praying for young people that had already been filled, and the leaders were getting filled with the Holy Ghost. But this young man didn't want to be hugged. There's a lot of us who love the idea of covering, but we really don't want to be covered. Because covering cost Elijah his life. The way that he was before the mantle fell, he was no longer that way. So if you want to be wrecked by Jesus, it can't be a Wednesday night wrecking from 7 to 8:15 or a Sunday morning 9 or 11. You can't plan your Jesus wrecking. It's either all or none. Jesus is not your ex-husband. He doesn't want weekend visitation. This is for real. This is all in. This is Jesus. Wreck my Friday night plans. Jesus, wreck my career plans. Jesus, wreck my relationship plans. Maybe when you get the mantle, God says, all right, you can't date him. You can't date her. Maybe when the mantle, the double portion, oh, you want the double portion? Maybe God says, you can't go to work there anymore. I'm going to shift you into this career field. And you say, I don't want to do that. Well, you can't tell me what you want and be covered. You either be covered and you are a child of God, you are a person in the army of the Lord, or you can step back and be uncovered. But I am telling you, church, in 2022, you should not leave your house unless you are covered, unless you've got the mantle, unless you've been anointed. You shouldn't go to Walmart. You shouldn't go to Kmart, not even a thing. You shouldn't go to USAA. You shouldn't go to the Spurs game. You shouldn't go to Schlitterbahn unless you're covered. Am I covered? Some of us treat Jesus like we do rental insurance on that rental car. Fingers crossed, I don't need it the next 5 days. Come on now, somebody. You buy that TV, you want the 2-year protection plan? No thanks. Hoping. Come on, in 2022, we need a protection plan. And that protection plan didn't come cheap. It's the blood of Jesus. Aren't you glad you're first covered with the blood of Jesus? When you said yes to Jesus, he covered you with his blood. You are not who you used to be. God paid a price for you. God paid a price for me. And I'm happy that I'm covered. But that covering has responsibility. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 7. He that dwelleth in the secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. He that dwells in the secret place. It's not secret to you. It's secret to the enemy. This is going to bless somebody. The devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Elisha is plowing with oxen uncovered. The devil knew where he was, what he was doing, what he need. But the moment the mantle, he's now covered. He's in the secret place. And now when the enemy comes roaring as a lion, seeking whom he may devour, he's looking right at you, but he can't see you. Why? Because you're covered. Or maybe he's looking right at you, and he sees not you, but he sees the God that covers you. And he says, nope, I don't want any of that. The last time I tangled with him was 2,000 years ago, and he whipped my tail then, and he'll whip my tail tonight. I'm not messing with the cover. He who dwells in the secret place. You say, can you tell me where the secret place is? I don't know. I'm covered, and so I'm just wherever he is. The secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, under the covering of the Almighty God. Here's some, if you're taking notes. We don't fear the shadow of death because we're under the shadow of the Almighty. Our shadow's bigger than his shadow. Look beyond the lion that is going about, as a lion going about seeking whom he may. We've got a lion from the tribe of Judah that is a real lion. His roar is big. His bite is big. We do not fear the shadow of death because we're under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. This world's getting crazy. I'm glad that I am in the fortress and the refuge that is Jesus Christ. He said, my God, in him will I trust. In him will I trust. Refuge in the Hebrew means a shelter. Means a sanctuary. See, some of us, we've fallen in love with church buildings. If I can make it to the church. You know, it's the same carpet here that it's your house. The same textured walls. It's the same doors. It's not the church building. is not the stained glass. You know what makes this a holy place? Because the presence of God shows up when the people of God worship and pray in this place. But I've got good news for you. Your worship, your praise, your prayer can produce the same atmosphere at your house. Your house can be a refuge. Your house can be a fortress. Wherever you are, God is. Wherever God is, you are. Wherever you go, you can have that feeling of refuge. Fortress means a strong, fortified place. A strong, fortified place. Fortress, fort, we get that from fortified, the strongest place in the castle. Jesus is the strongest place that we have. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The unrighteous don't know where to run, don't know who to run to. But aren't you thankful on a Wednesday night that we know, not Living Way, but we know we can run to Jesus and he is a strong, strong, fortified fortress. He said, my God, in him will I trust, in him, covered by him. Acts 17, for in him, in Jesus, we live, we move, we have our being. John would say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Well, what is it? Are you in Christ or is Christ in you? Yes. Both. A real believer and a disciple of Jesus Christ, you should not be able to tell where I end and Christ begins or where Christ ends and I begin. We are all wrapped up. I'm in him. He's in me. We are one. Verse 3. Praise him if you'll come. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. The mantle delivers, church. The mantle delivers. You get that covering on you. You get that anointing on you. It will deliver you. It will deliver you from the snare. Those are the traps that the enemy sets up. And anytime that I talk about traps, that tells you the mantle has a spiritual aspect to it, because there's some discernment, because you don't see traps coming. A trap doesn't look like a trap.